Hallelujah. Wow. So we're talking, I'm going to try to finish what we started last Sunday. So those of you that maybe missed the first part, I'm just going to just tell you a little bit about it. But it's out of Romans chapter 10. And so it's Romans chapter 10. And you go ahead and just turn there. But we're talking about how God has given us a heart that burns, a heart that's on fire, a heart that is for the Lord, and how to get that kind of heart and how to have a hearing heart. Because Romans 10 talks about it very clearly here. It says that the righteousness, verse 6, based on faith says, do not say in your heart. So one of the problems that we have that the Lord is showing us is that our heart talks too much. You got to tell your heart to be quiet in order to hear Jesus talk to you. Where does Jesus talk to you? Here. It says the word comes where? To your heart. So, as every teacher knows, how do you know people are listening? One way you know is you see their mouths are shut. If their mouths are shut, and eyes also tell you a lot because you can be distracted in hearing nowadays with messaging. So not only are your eyes can be you not you can be listening, but you got to listen with your eyes. You ever heard that expression? Listen with your eyes. So I would tell the students, I say, look, listen with your eyes because I'm going to show you a picture of what's going on. So you listen with your eyes. And it's very, very important to learn to listen with whatever God gives you. Actually, Jesus, I believe, when he told some of these parables, I think he was actually holding up some objects. It's called an object lesson as a teacher. You hold up an object and say, this is a banana. You know, it's very appealing. Just kidding. Okay, never mind. Somebody laughed. Thank you, Jan. jokes are not... I mean, I like jokes, but... I have talents, but I don't know about the joke department. So here we are, the righteousness based on faith. This is the kind of righteousness that the only way that we've got to make it is faith. And then it says, do not say in your heart. So get your heart quiet so you can hear Jesus talk to you. Don't ask these kind of questions. It says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So God wants to bring the word close to you, and we need to be quiet in order to hear from God. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So the heart is a place to listen and believe. The heart is the place to listen and believe. The mouth is the place to speak and see salvation. So salvation comes from speaking. Faith comes from believing, from hearing the word in your heart. You know, there are times when the word of God will come and I've got faith. But then God says, okay now, and this is what we're going to focus on today. Now I want you to see a little salvation happen. Take that faith and speak it. Now we need to get it from the mouth up, I mean from the heart to the mouth. And I told a story, the story about our friend Simon that had Jesus for dinner. And this sinner woman that came and loved on Jesus and used her hair to wipe the tears. She wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And then Simon, in his heart, didn't even open his mouth, right? He didn't even open his mouth. He said, if this man were a prophet, he would know that she is a sinner. Right? And I love Jesus. He answers things we say without us ever saying them. I love it. He wants us to hear the words so bad that he will deal with the words that we don't even speak. He wants to speak to us that much. One of the most dangerous prayers you could ever pray is, Lord, if you're real, speak to me. He will. I've seen him do it over and over again to somebody who has struggling with their faith. I say, just pray this prayer. And most people will pray it because they think, oh, God won't speak to me. Oh, yes, he will. He'll get you. He'll speak to you in ways that you don't know. He'll catch you by surprise. Amen. So this man, Jesus addressed to him and he says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Let's all say that with Jesus. Ready? I have something to say to you. Quiet your heart because I got something to say. I want you to listen. So, the most important thing that we could ever say with our mouth is Jesus is Lord. Because that's what it says here. For with the heart you believe and you're justified, and with the mouth you confess and you're saved. So what are we going to say? Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For everyone who calls on the name of the what? The Lord. So what does it mean to say that? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn to your Bibles there. It's very, very important scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Let's look at that right now. 1 Corinthians 12. So go in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. Starting with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you were led away or led astray to mute, that means untalking idols, however you were led. Therefore, verse 3, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is cursed. And here's the key. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by what? The Holy Spirit. So, saying Jesus is Lord is the gift, the most important gift of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Didn't I tell you that not long ago? Not long ago, I said, the most important gift you have is your testimony. I love the gifts of the Spirit. I love them. I want every gift of the Spirit. I want prophecy. I want speaking in tongues. I want healing gifts. I want discerning gifts. I want faith gifts. But the gift that's most important to me is my testimony that says Jesus is Lord. Now, can someone say amen to that and give God some praise? Come on now. The most important thing you can say is Jesus is Lord. And this term, to say Jesus is Lord, is like saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Every day, talking like a teacher again, I pledge my allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. What are you doing when you pledge allegiance? It's a good old word. The word liege means faith. It means Lord. What you do is you're saying that I am tying myself to my sovereign, my leader. I am going to connect myself with my king or my Lord or my master, however you word you want to say, that I promise I will do what my leader says to do. My job is to do what he says, and his job. Now, what's his job? What, when they pledged allegiance to a Lord back in the old days, what did that mean? It meant that you gave them obedience, and they gave you safety, salvation. They protected you with their army. They provided you with whatever you needed. So, here's a definition. Allegiance is the tie that binds the subject to the sovereign. In return for that protection which the sovereign affords the subject, it was a mutual bond and obligation between monarch and subjects, whereby subjects are called his liege subjects. That's where we get the word allegiance. Liege subjects. Because they are bound. Everybody say the word bound. Obligated. You gotta do it. That's how we say it up north. When I grew up. Just do it. You gotta do it. You gotta do it. That means you don't think about it. You just do it. You Nike the thing. Or down here, right? Thank you. Up there we say, do it. Down here they say, get her done. I can't say it like y'all say it. It's the same thing. Yeah, I just can't pull that twang. That's all right, though. I like it. I like it. So, what you do is, he defends you and he protects you. And he gives you what only he can give you. And then your job is to obey him. So when you say Jesus is Lord, you are saying, I pledge allegiance to Jesus. Have you got it? Say amen. Amen. I got it, Pastor John. Then I won't repeat myself because I'm going to keep saying it until I know you got it. Saying amen is really good for me because then it lets me know that you got it and then I can move on to the next thing. I want you to get this thing. His job is to save you, to protect you. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying, Lord, only you can save me. I know where I'm going. I know this body is breaking down daily. And I need you to save me, so I'm going to say, I'm going to pledge my allegiance to Jesus. That needs to be a song, Ronnie, Danny. Danny, we need to do a song. I pledge allegiance to Jesus. And you know what I mean? I think there's a Christian flag allegiance pledge. But I think we need a song, I pledge my allegiance to Jesus. Because that's who we really is, Lord. It's not, I mean, I thank God for the USA. But I want you to know something. There's only one allegiance in my heart. And it's through Jesus that I allege to this country. Praise God. Now, I want you to see this. I want to tell you a story right now. I want to take you to the story in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And this is very, very important. That has to do with the connection between what we say and what's inside of us. What we say and what's inside of us. So Mark chapter 2, we're going to go there right now. And you got to hear me. Again, the most important confession is Jesus is Lord. So, but I want you to see something that you can have faith and show it without saying it. But somewhere along the line, somebody's got to say something. So here's the story. Jesus was in Capernaum and he was at home. The word got out, Jesus was home. So what happened? Everybody went to his house. He had a house. And everybody said, okay, Jesus is in town. He's at home. So I'm going there. And so what happened? He had a crowd. There was no room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. Amen. This is God's house. Amen. And so they came, bringing him a paralytic carried up by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. Guess what? They tore the roof off of Jesus' house. That was really nice. How about this? Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. He saw the faith. He said. So what comes first, guys? Faith. After you see faith, what do? You say faith. Boom. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen if you got that. When you see faith, you say faith. Jesus says it because he saw it. And instead of questioning in their hearts, They had faith, and because they had faith, they did something. Because they did something, Jesus saw it. Because Jesus saw it, he pronounced salvation. Salvation is what? Your sins are forgiven. There's only one way to get saved, and that's by being righteous. Because no unrighteous person is going to heaven, period. Sorry. No sinner. One sin, sorry, you can't come in. The only way to get to heaven is by being righteous. The only way to be righteous is have Jesus tell you you're righteous. Don't you think that you can say that I'm righteous? It's not going to work. If I'm going to God's house, then he's the one who's got to say whether I'm okay to come in. And so you can't, don't think for one second that you're going to get to heaven if he doesn't pronounce you righteous. And when he pronounces you righteous, you get to go. God loves you so much that he will not allow you to go to hell in sin. Praise God. Don't you know God loves us so much that he doesn't want to see one person go to hell? Not one. But he's not going to bring you into eternity unless you're righteous. And so he said, your sins have been forgiven. And guess what they were doing? How did the Pharisees or the people respond to the word of faith? They began to question in their where? Heart. Again, their heart began to talk. And what did they say without saying it? How can this man speak like this? Now, I'm going to get up here and get personal, okay? I know I'm going to do this. Here we go. How many of you want to have the kind of speech where people hear you and they go, how can this person talk like this? This blows me away. Now, most of the time, it's usually for me, it's something stupid I say, and they go, I can't believe this guy's talking like this. But I'm talking about the power of the word of God in your mouth, so much so that people are shocked. They're shocked. You're shocked. And that's true. That is so true. We, the Holy Spirit in us, will speak. And sometimes he'll say something in us and through us before we have a time to think about it. It just comes out, and then we're shocked along with everybody else. And that's what God wants to do in your life. Because how do you confess faith? Romans 12:3 says the only way. Who does it? It's the Spirit of God in you that says Jesus is Lord. You cannot say Jesus is Lord without the Spirit of God. Cannot do it. Only way to speak faith is if the Holy Spirit comes in and puts it in you. And he enables you to speak words of life. He enables you to shock people with what you say. And we're going to look at one other thing. Look down here. I love Jesus' response to them. Remember, he is speaking to them before they say a word. Got it? He's the only one who's been talking out loud so far. Then he turns to them and he's like revealing their hearts. Like boom. Their heart talk. I love this word. In verse 9. What is easier to say? What is easier? Forget the comma. What is easier to say? Can we say that with me? Here we go. Ready? Eyes up here. Ready? What is easier to say to the paralytic? What's easier? Now, that really means, help me if I'm wrong, English guys. You can also say this. What is harder to say? Am I right? All right, let's confess this. Ready? Which is harder to say? Words of faith are hard to say. Words of faith are very hard to say. If it's easy for you to say it, It's only because the Holy Ghost, I got to use the word Holy Ghost on this one, Holy Ghost is saying it. Because you'll end up saying things that are too hard for you to say. Because you're going, my goodness, I am looking at a paralyzed person. How can I say, get up? Only the power of the Holy Spirit can make you say hard things. So I want you to get it out of your mind that it's easy for you to speak a word of faith. You can't do it easy. It's not easy. Jesus said it's not easy. What's easier, be forgiven or be healed? Got news for you. Can't do either. If you think it's easy to get forgiveness, do you know what paid for your forgiveness? Was it easy for Jesus to give you forgiveness? Was it? How much did it cost him, Steve? And what's more, is there anything more precious than the blood of Jesus? Wow. Pause. Selah. Selah and think about it. Just think about it. So, because we have a soft heart, God gives us the ability to speak hard words. Soft heart, hard words. Soft heart. You got a hard heart? You cannot say the hard words of faith. Won't work. Soft heart. Hard words. So, first way to speak the words is by the Spirit of God. The second way to speak these words have to do with listening with your heart. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing. So I'm going to give you some ways to hear us. God wants us to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. Because faith comes by hearing the Word. God wants us to know our spirit. To know the difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of John Heiss, or the voice of whoever it is, or the voice of the devil, for example, or the voice of a demon, or your children, or whoever. The words that come to us, here's one key, they flow from us like water. There's a flow. It's the best way I can describe it, guys. The Holy Spirit has a flow to it and a peacefulness about it that lets you know where it's coming from. Jesus said that if you drink of the Holy Spirit, it says, out of the innermost being, his belly, shall flow rivers of living water. Well, what is the living water? The Word of God. It's the Word of God. I mean, we're not walking around with like a fire hose out coming out of our stomach shooting people with a water gun. What is the living water? It's the Holy Spirit. But how does the Spirit manifest? Through our words and our actions. So out of his innermost being shall flow. So there's a flow to the Word of God. So there are times when I'm preaching, there are times when I'm singing, and I just don't feel the flow. Don't feel the flow. Cool it until you feel the flow. Don't go until you feel the flow. There we go. That'll preach. Don't go until you feel the flow. Feel the flow of the river of God, and let the Word of God just roll because of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we need to allow this to happen. Now, it will work in our minds as well as our hearts. These words flow like water. We hear the word by speaking the word by the Spirit. We meditate on the word, and the word meditation actually comes from this word to mutter, or to kind of repeat quietly underneath, you know. So it's the sense of, I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm going to do this. You ever heard people talk to themselves like that quietly? That's what the word meditate has, that kind of sense. It's where you kind of talk to yourself very quietly, and you're just speaking the truth. You're encouraging yourself with the word of God. As a matter of fact, speaking in the Bible language uses the word speaking in tongues, glossolalia. That means the tongue, gloss. You're just speaking with your mouth. The Bible says that we do not understand what we say, that understanding comes after speaking. Now, that's just the opposite of the way our human mind works, isn't it? Unless we're angry. Normally, when I get up here to speak to you, I want to know what I want to say before I say it. But there are times when you want the Holy Spirit to speak. So how does that work? You open your mouth and you start speaking before you understand what it is that you want to say. That's prophecy. Okay? So you get before the Lord, and then you start. I'm climbing up the mountain to be with Jesus. And sometimes when I write songs, I just speak off of, I write off the flow. I don't even know what I'm going to say. And sometimes when you prophesy, God will say to you, I want you to give a word to somebody. And he doesn't tell you what that word's going to be. Go to them first and open your mouth, and then I will give you the words. But you got to obey me. And you will, and you may not understand what it is that you're saying to them at first. As a matter of fact, you may give them something and they may laugh, and you don't know why they're laughing. And then afterwards, they may tell you, or they may not, what it is that you said to them, if it made any understanding for them. The point is, when the flow comes, you speak first and understand second. Let's all say that. Ready? Speak first, understand second. You speak the word of God until you understand it. That's meditation. How many of you like to come across a scripture that you just don't get? You know what that means? When God shows me something I don't understand, that means I want to find out. I know you're showing me this. You're pointing this out to me. I don't get it. I know it. Now you want to tell me something, Lord. You're not going to want to learn something unless you know just how dumb you are, right? And one of the hardest things as a Christian believer, you hear these scriptures over and over again, and you think you know what they are, but you don't got it. So part of God's way is saying, guess what? You don't get it. Now spend some time speaking so that you can get it. Because you really don't get it. I don't care what you heard on the radio. I don't care what you saw on the internet. I don't care what you think some great preacher said to you. You still don't get it. Until God puts it there. It's hard, man. Come on, Bo. Boom! Woo! Glory! Come on! Do you know the most important thing as a pastor? Well, I want you guys to not need to listen to me. I mean, I really want that. I really want you to hear from God. And I want you to be able to speak it. But they're hard words. They're hard. So, sometimes you have to say it in order to hear it, to get it. The second thing you need to do is to remember it, to get it. Mark chapter 8. So now I want you to go to Mark 8, and we're going to talk about how to get your mouth and your heart full of power. Mark 8, 17. Jesus said to them, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees." And then they just began to discover the fact that they had no bread. Sure, they were really paying attention to Jesus right at that time. Just like right about now, you know, you're going, okay, 12:30, I'm hungry. I'm going, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And you're going, should I get a pizza or should I get chips? That's what they were doing, right? They were thinking, bread. We don't have bread. We're hungry, man. We need some food. They were not getting it. He talked about leaven. They're thinking, leaven bread? Yeah. So what does he say? "Don't you yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened?" Soft heart means hard words to say in the spirit. "Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And last but not least, don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves? Don't you remember what I did in your life? What did I do for you a year ago? What did I do for you 10 years ago? What did I do for you the other day?" That is a key to understanding what God wants to do in your life, is remembering what He has already done. And I purposely go back. It's not a sign of my age. I'll go back over things that God did in my life when I was 17 years old. We heard some great stories at the men's meeting last Thursday. And they were recollections of how God changed our lives. By the way, we got to get you to come up from Eden when you get off, Jimmy. But how God changed your life a while ago, and how it is still with you today. That you are today what has already been happening in your life years ago. So it's important to remember, because it reminds you of who you are, what God has done in your life. Remembering the testimony of Jesus. He says, if you remember, you'll understand now. Just remember what I've done. Understand what I've done. So remembering is a part of your meditation. It's very important for your meditation. Now, Luke 24, we saw the story, and I want you to turn there, please, quickly. Turn to Luke 24, verse 30. It's the road to Emmaus. And Jesus was walking with them on the road. So here's the third thing I want to say about how important it is to hear with your heart, not talk, hear with your heart and speak with your mouth. Who are you hanging out with? Who are you hanging out with? The two guys were walking on the road. And I think this is really interesting. The story has to do with things, the people you hang out with. Because here they were walking. Everybody say walking. They were on their way. Now, my life, I'm on my way. Sometimes I'm sitting. Sometimes I'm on the move. And sometimes I'm seated. You're sitting, sometimes you're walking or driving, in my case, or you are also standing. So who are you standing with? Who are you sitting with? And who are you walking with? So these people are walking in unbelief, aren't they? They are walking in major unbelief. The two disciples. They saw Jesus killed. They saw their hopes crushed. They didn't get the word of God. And so what does Jesus do? He says, I'm going to walk with you. That's how God brings his word to you. Who are you walking with? Make ways for God to speak to you by who you hang out with in your daily life. Who do you walk with? Are you getting word from them? And you may not even recognize Jesus working through them. You may not even see the Holy Spirit giving you the word of God because of who you're walking with. We call the word hanging. Sounds kind of funny, actually. And then they stood with him at the crossroad, right? And he was going to go on, and they said, no, no, no. They stood. Stay with us. They made a decision to have him stay so they could sit down at the table. I believe there is a progression of fellowship here. Who you walking with is one level of fellowship. Then if you're standing, means you got to make a decision of, do I want more of this or not? Who are you in real fellowship with? Who do you sit down with at the table? Who do you break your bread with? You can be walking with some good people, but maybe you're sitting down with some not so good people that are not bringing you faith. They're speaking just all kinds of stuff to you that's not good. So Jesus will speak to us. He will open the scriptures even though we don't see him there. And it will change our hearts. It'll give us a burning heart. Psalm chapter 1. Look at Psalm 1. I love this. The very first words out of David's mouth for his son. The legacy of King David for Solomon was this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So you're going to be hanging out. There will be times when you will be surrounded by people who are scoffers, sinners, and wicked. It's going to happen. But if you could choose, there's choices that we make of who we do spend time with. And I could be sitting at my table and have my laptop on or my iPad on or my television on, and I'm actually walking with wicked. So you have to guard who you're with in every way, not just in physical ways, but also in your mental time. The kind of books you read, the kind of things you see. And it says that if you delight in the law of the Lord, and in your law you meditate day and night, that means you constantly meditating on the Lord, because God could speak to you. Many times God will speak to me as I'm going somewhere. I'm serious. He'll speak to me as I'm walking somewhere, and I have to stop and write it down. Now, I'm going to finish up with Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Let's get there. Luke 15. It's the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15, verse 11. I want you to focus on this in verse 18. The prodigal son took what belonged to him, what was given to him as a gift from his father, and just got rid of it. Right? He did not send a messenger to dad and say, Dad, send me more money. He realized the heart of the issue was where he was living. And that was his choice. In verse 18, he says, I'm going to get up and go to my father. I'm getting up and going back. The heart of the issue of the prodigal son is you have a choice. The pigsty or the palace. Dad's house or Porky Pig. Who do you want to hang with? I will get up and go to my father and say to him. And what motivated the prodigal son to go home? What was it that drove him? Hunger. Simple hunger. Hunger. He was very hungry. Are you hungry? Yeah, in many ways right now, Pastor John, because it's 12:45. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I'm hungry. It was hunger. Now, I want you to see the kind of food in this story. The Lord just showed this to me yesterday, and I'm going, this is so cool. Realize the kind of food you have here? You have pods. He couldn't eat the pods. They weren't, but he wanted them. Right? He said, all I want is bread. Servants ate the bread. All right, I'll go back for bread because bread is a whole lot better than eating pods, pig pods. I have no idea. It's a bean shell. You know, like when you take the beans out of the shell, out of the pods, the pigs eat the leftovers. So like when you eat beans or peas, the pigs eat what we throw away. Am I right, Stephen? Is that right? So the pigs eat the slop or the leftovers. He wanted that, but that didn't happen. He couldn't do that. He said, if I go back as a servant or a slave and do everything that Dad says, then I'll go for bread because bread's a whole lot better. I'll take bread over pods any day. So it was his hunger that drove him back for bread. But what did his daddy give him? He didn't give him a little goat. There's a big difference between a little goat and a fat calf. About how many pounds, Ted, do you think? About 500 pound difference. Anybody here ready to run out and eat some goat right now? What do you think, Megan? Josh? You can eat anything if it's curried, brother. But God, even though you're coming back for bread, God's got some beef for you. And the party begins. Let your hunger for the good food in the Father's house drive you. Drive you there. Don't think that you can make it on your own. Let your hunger drive you back to the Father's house. Amen? Amen. Can we stand to our feet right now? Amen.